Okay, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
If you're sparse, but I'm sure you'll make up for it in your spirit this morning. My name is Pat Moore to most of you. I'm serving the church now in various different capacities, and I've been a member here for about 20 years now, and a UU for almost 40 years. In the pulpit this morning, we have Michelle Bryant Barbeau. She's here. Okay. And I'm inviting all of you to stay after worship for fellowship with us in the Kate Worker room right through here, our fellowship hall. If you are new, if you're a newcomer or an old person, an old person or a young person who's been here for a while and you've lost your name tag, it's real handy for everybody if you wear your name if you remember to wear your name tag so that they can remember to call you by your name. And so if you need to get a new name tag or you get to need, this keeps flashing at me, if you need to get, if I put my hand there, it stays on. It's like a radio that, you know, how the radios, when you walk away, they make static, and then when you get close to them, they don't. It's this light. Anyway, if you need a name tag, there's a table, visitor, newcomer table over on the opposite wall, and you can leave a note there for the secretary, and she'll make you a name tag and leave it out there for you to get for the next time. If you are a newcomer, and I know we have some this morning, we extend to you a special welcome. And if you will fill out a visitor card, if you haven't already done that, they're in the back of your hymnal, and you can put it in the offering plate or give it to an usher, and we'll send you the newsletter for a while. Or you can also find the newsletter on online, of course, but if you want to get a paper copy of it to keep handy, we'll send that to you. And then you'll know kind of all what the programs are and the activities that are going on here. You can even put down that you want to be on the list for, and you'll get a email every week called Church This Week that tells you what's going on that week. If there are any children here, they're welcome to stay in the service with you. We don't have a program for children. Right now, starting in September, we'll start with our children's religious education program again. Right now, they're welcome to stay with you. If you have toddlers, we do have a professional nursery for babies and toddlers. If you want to learn more about Unitarian Universalism, there's pamphlets on this wall behind me back in there that will range in all kinds of topics that you can read and find out a little more about us. There's also tons of information online about Unitarianism and Universalism. Right now, I want you to turn and greet your neighbors, introduce yourselves to the ones you don't know yet, have a little fun time. Good morning. Okay, now it's time for announcements. I want to make an announcement to start with. Anyone else who has an announcement for the good of the church may be making your way up to the microphone. I'll announce that yesterday at the fourth Saturday lunch, the school supplies that people brought were very, very popular. We gave everything away that we had. So if you still want to bring them for the next couple of weeks and put them in the bin out in the hall over there, I'll take them to Oasis Crisis Center because they can certainly use them there all times during the year when people come there with children who need school supplies. Okay, next.
Hi, can you hear me? I actually have 2.5 announcements. Number one, let me get my screen so I can see it here. August 1st, we're going to have another workday over in North St. Louis, helping out cleaning out empty lots. If you are interested in helping out with that project, it's with the other UU congregations and one of the municipal groups over there. They're meeting at 7 in the morning, Saturday, August 1st, and the address is 5178 Kensington. I'll post that and directions to that address on our church Facebook page, and I'll share it with the UU Friends page. If you don't have Facebook and you want that information sent to you, or you want me to text it to you or email it to you, just come and talk to me. My name is Sarah, after church, or after service. They are especially needing somebody with an electric chainsaw. We had a work day in May that went really well. We had a lot of people from the community helping out, cleaning up in the Kensington Academy neighborhood, and that's north of Del Mar. Announcement one. Announcement two, since Mary Johnson is not here, a poll went out via email. It was 5 questions, and 3 of them have to do with worship service specifically, 2 are about the church in general. If you could complete that poll by, I think she wants it by the end of July, is that right? Okay. There was a paper version of the poll last week, but I don't know where they are. Oh, there they are. Okay. I'll put them over here later. If you don't have access to the electronic copy, you can do that poll, and I guess give it to me or any board member, I guess, and we'll get it to the appropriate person. Give it some thought. All of us who put the poll together really want some thoughtful feedback about the questions that are on there. It's to communicate to the interim minister our wants and needs and what we value. And the half announcement. If you or someone you know is a regular attendee every Sunday and is interested in helping out with the website, the new website that's going to go live very soon, come and talk to me. We have a job that needs to be done on a regular basis with that website. So if you are interested and are computer savvy with uploading information, you know, not just Facebook, come and talk to me.
Hi, I'm Sandy Shaner. This is your regular commercial. For those of you who wonder when Reverend Sunshine will appear in the pulpit, the answer's in your August newsletter, which is available online now. And there's also a really nice explanation from Sunshine about what interim means and how Sunshine sees it working. So go home to your computers and look up your August newsletter.
Now it's time for sharing our gratitudes and celebrations. Anything that you bring with you to church this morning, you may come to the microphone and share it. Well, while she's coming, I have a couple of things. I was able to go yesterday along with several other people from our congregation to the annual, I guess they call it annual Fire of Faith prayer breakfast of the United Congregations of Metro East for the Alton Cluster. It was at the College Avenue Presbyterian Church this time. We had a very nice breakfast and a chance to meet people from other congregations and get to know them better. It's a very good thing to get involved in. They have meetings, you know, periodically, and I got to get more involved in it myself, so that's why I went to the breakfast, to learn a little bit more about it. So I hope that some of you will be interested in getting involved, and we do a lot of activities together with these other churches during the year, service activities, as well as just getting together and getting to know each other and appreciate each other's values.
Hi, I'm Sharon. It is our lovely Lyric's 7th birthday weekend, and so it was her birthday yesterday, and we're having her party today to celebrate her fabulousness.
Hi, I'm Debbie. I posted on our UU Friends this week and asked for your prayers and thoughts for my friend in DC who had a surprise triple bypass, and he's actually going home today. So I want to let you guys know that, and thank you for thinking of him. So.
Okay, no one else said anything. I have another thing that was a joy to tell you, that the beautiful flowers today were from the wedding yesterday of our own Cheryl and Amal. I'm so happy for them to be wedded at the church here. Legally married. Anyone who has any sorrows or concerns to bring to the microphone may do so now.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Timpey. Many of you know that my husband Bob's dad has been fighting cancer for a year. He had a second major surgery to try to remove all the cancer that was there. They determined it was unsuccessful. He's going to be starting major chemo this week, and the prognosis is not good. So just prayers for the family are appreciated.
I also have a concern for my father-in-law. 8 years ago he had esophageal cancer, had his entire esophagus removed. He outlived his expected lifespan. Usually they only last 5 years past that, so that was good. Last year he was diagnosed with Parkinson's, and now he's got vertebrae that are enlarging, and they're worried it's going to cut off his spinal column. So they're hoping to do surgery for that. So if you could send prayers or good thoughts for Jay, I'd appreciate it.
May all the gratitudes and celebrations among us this day become a blessing to all. And may the concerns and sorrows, whether spoken or unspoken, be carried in all our hearts. A burden shared becomes a load lightened. And I don't know that we've been remembering to tell you, but there is a book over here where you can write your concerns down, and if you have, you know, unspoken concerns. Okay, now we'll begin the formal part of our worship service with the lighting of the chalice by Gruvis Luker with the help of his mom. This is his first try, so yay for Gruvis. He was real excited. We gather this hour as people of faith with joys and sorrows, gifts and needs. We light this beacon of hope, a sign of our quest for truth and meaning, in celebration of the life that we share together. Now, if you'll join us and rise as you are able and join us with our first hymn, which is number 1021 in your teal hymnal. Those are usually at the ends of the Rose. 1021. Lean on me.
Thank you.
That should be the anthem of our church, because we are all such good friends to lean on each other in times of need. All right, now for our doxology. You can stay standing or...
Is there a responsive reading?
Oh, am I supposed to do a responsive reading first? Okay. All right. In our response, thank you, Michelle. In our response, I got carried away. In our responsive reading, it's going to be number 1038 in your Till Hymnal, the 23rd Psalm. And we're going to share, I will read a line, and then you can read a line. Number 1038. All right, I'll read the first line, you read the next, so on. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. All right, you read the next one. She restores my soul. She rights my wrongs.
She leads me in the path of good things. She fills my heart with songs.
Even though I walk through a dark and dreary land,
there is nothing that can shake.
She sets a table before me in the presence of my foes.
She anoints my head with oil, and my cup overflows.
Surely goodness and kindness will follow me all the days of my life.
And I will live in her house forever and ever.
Glory be to our mother and daughter, and to the Holy of Holies. All right, now our doxology. Seated. Freely we have received of gifts that minister to our needs of our body and spirit. Gladly we bring to our church its wide concerns a portion of this bounty. We've been greatly blessed. Let's now give generously so that others might be blessed by the work of this church. The morning's offering will now be given and received. Gratitude, all your generous gifts of treasure as well as time and talent. And together we bless them and those of you who gave in faith, hope, and love. Amen.
Good morning. I have a sick kitty at home that is like an infant. However, it's perfect for today's topic. So I have two readings today. One from Rumi, Jalaluddin Rumi, the Persian mystic, and the other from the journals of Michelle Bryant-Barbeau. Rumi first. This we have now. This we have now is not imagination. This is not grief or joy. Not a judging state or an elation or a sadness. Those come and go. This is the presence that doesn't. When grapes turn to wine, they're wanting this. When the night sky pours by, it's really a crowd of beggars, and they all want some of this. This we have now. And the second. Different reading. From the journals of Michelle Bryant Barbeau, the day her father died. Dear random crying fit, less snot, love, Michelle. Let's take a moment of prayer and meditation together. I have called God by many names, him, her, us, it, them, George. In the spaces of silence, when I have no idea what to do or what will happen, I breathe. We breathe. And I found that in the places that hurt the most, that are grieving the hardest in me, if I breathe into that space, what was once large and overwhelming has more room to breathe. Let's breathe together in the silence. Our next hymn, seated, is 1043 in our teal hymnal. This one is involving some Transylvanian. So as a quick run through, we'll look at the pronunciation at the bottom together. 1043 is Shekeli Aldash, or something therein that you can pronounce. The first time around, we're singing in a non-English Transylvanian, and the pronunciation guide is down at the bottom of the page. All heat, all seretet, all seretet, alt beke, hal beke, alt al dash, hal al dash, at ishten, alt ishten, alk sug shake, nin shin. The second part is a translation in English. Where there is faith, there is love. Where there is love, there is peace. Where there is peace, there is blessing. Where there is blessing, there is God. Where there is God, there is no need. And then if we're feeling adventurous, shall we try it a third time around, where you pick your favorite if you want to try in Transylvanian or in English? You guys went with me there on Lean On Me. I like it. Y'all are spirited this morning. Let's give it a try. Thank you. So the title of my sermon is Meditations on Grief. Looking at church this week and realizing I neglected to submit that title, I also kind of like to be announced. It works too. You see, when grieving, the answer to the innocent question, how are you, is kind of like that. I have no idea. Until I check and announce it. And I may be just as surprised as you are. I've always been fascinated by how spirituality or religion assist or make a mess of major life events. I have more or less been a theist my whole life, and have even had the joy of feeling as if I have God's cell phone number. Well, in the 90s, it was a pager. And in the 80s, I think it was a stuffed animal that I snuggled really tight. But nonetheless, it felt like I was on speed dial. And the presence that Rumi talks about, me and the presence, I'm kind of lazy, so I use a shorter, faster word, God. I found that word not from not just my Baptist roots that gets me like all like jammy with Lean On Me, but also in the Jewish mystical traditions as well. They do a capital G, an exclamation point, and a capital D. That's cool to me. So I use that word to describe the immense force of creation, the thing that I just can't quite wrap language around. That could be a him, her, here. I'm fond of saying God herself is one that I enjoy. But so me and the presence, sometimes we don't always have things to say to each other, and we don't always agree when we talk. Sometimes we argue. Nonetheless, I always feel heard, even when I don't feel particularly worthy. But this last year, from the fall of 2013 to present, has been an eye-opener for me and widened my experience theology. When I say experienced theology, that feels fancy. I'm talking about the stuff that didn't require faith or study, anything but me observing in my life and what worked. Not what worked for someone else, but what made my heart sing. Like the hymn we just sang, what gives me goosebumps? That's experiential theology for me. So, In my theology, I've always had a God out there, or whatever the heck you want to call that. I struggled as I matured and realized I had God in here, in me. That's pretty cool. And a lot of responsibility, might I add. And I think that works for everyone, that perhaps you too have God in you. Sorry for the responsibility. And those basically sounded pretty good, but it wasn't enough when my father died. I got to watch a soul loosen from a body. And I am very sure that the personality left the clay and earth flesh. And what was left was no longer the person that I knew so well. I got to see it. So I'm very sure that whatever animates us is more than blood pumping. And even experiencing it, and by the way, still having very little interest in figuring out where it goes, I don't know, I'll get there. My prior understanding of whatever the presence is didn't cut it. It wasn't enough. Well, crap. So in this experience, I pulled together a few memories and snippets from my journal, like Dear Crying Fit, to share with you as I rode through the quiet whirlwind. I've read that the job of a shaman or hero is to go on a journey that no one else can or will, especially those of self, and return with the wisdom and prize to share with the people. Every time I think of something like that, I think of Monty Python and the peasants rejoice. Yay. Yeah. And so fancying myself some sort of witchy mystic, I figured I was up to the task. And the first thing that I learned was I can be one of the dumbest smart people I know. Instead of returning as a conquering hero to reveal the secrets that I have now mastered, I've simply become more aware of what I don't know and how much continued things I have to work on. I planned on coming before you as some sort of perfectly wrapped up after school special where that usually goes something like this. She had a life that was pretty good, was chugging along, then something happened and it was terrible. But then she learned her lessons and made new friends and hugged her parents and realized they were right all along. End credits, theme. So as the music swells and the credits roll, turns out in real life, the actual cast is kind of looking around, scratching their head, wondering, well, now what? At the beginning of my journey, I wanted to crack myself open in how I dealt with vulnerability, fear, and uncertainty. Piece of cake. Also at the end of February of this year, my father died and rocked my most internal mechanisms and foundational pieces. So I did what I set out to do. I cracked myself open, and I'm still working on it, and I have not put those pieces back together yet. I realized this one day when I wrote in my journal. I found myself in the county library, and I'm staring blankly at the shelves way too long. I think I'm looking for something, but everything, all of my favorite authors aren't appealing to me. And suddenly, I realize I am looking for the How Not to Feel Like a Hot Mess book. Maybe with its sequel of you've learned all of your lessons, worked through your issues, integrated it all, and now you're more awesome. I decided at that point it was time to leave the library. So today, as an act of embracing my vulnerability, I come before you as Michelle, broken, still grieving, joyful, hopeful, depressed, uncertain, whole, and still standing. It's confusing to me too. My next snippet of memory begins to put some of these harder pieces together. I'm pretty sure I've merged two different events together because memory is funny like that. But both of them involved the crazy whirlwind that is Thanksgiving, Christmas, Yule, Kwanzaa, that part of the year, somewhere in the November, December timeframe, where you get lots of family together and eat a lot of good food. I remember my dad laying on the floor in our living room. This was the room that children weren't allowed to be in unless you were playing the piano or receiving visitors. He is now laying on the floor, surrounded by three dogs. He's in a Redskins hoodie, which is a far cry from his active duty military wear I'm used to seeing him in. And he is giggling and petting all of them, looking about as serene as possible. The second snippet of this same memory is us gathered at the table, not too far from the untouchable room. We wouldn't dare eat in there. And he is also telling us that he's now going back for another round of chemo. His leukemia counts are looking a little rocky. It was then that I realized his serenity was probably not divorced from this news. And he became a superhero to me, because I'm not that graceful. Another snippet reminds me of the Rumi poem that I read earlier. This is where the woo-woo comes in, the woo-woo mystical part. And it's another act of vulnerability to share it. It's turned into a nightly ritual these last few days. I go to my altar. There are no fancy prayers. I, the priest, light the candle that my shaking hands put into whatever holder I found a couple of days ago when I first received the call that my dad went to the hospital. The universe and I make no promises to one another. The feeling some would call God draws very close, and there is only a breath of separation between all things, starting with me and the lit candle. The place in me that is God is not very far from the place in him, my father, that is vast. The thudding heart and blood roaring in my ears dims as I take the breath and step from separation towards unity. In this state, this I have now. I ask the same questions each night. Do you want to stay or go? I'll help, though I'm not happy about it. And I will respect your wishes. Do you want to stay? One night the answer is yes. And ringing in the unity with that yes, I pray and sing and share life. Night after night, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, one night the answer is wait. So we sit together and wait until I'm tired enough to sleep, as insomnia has started to kick in at this point. It was many days later that my mom told me that that Saturday was their 42nd wedding anniversary. He waited. The next night, I feel the presence as I take the step from separation to unity, but I hear nothing. It will be soon. And even with God wrapped around me like a warm blanket and nearly two decades of pagan priesthood in me, I realized that having God's cell phone in this moment wasn't enough. That having God in me and out there wasn't enough. I remembered the months of practice and awareness of vulnerability at this point. The universe shows off sometimes, prepping me for these moments. This is a learning moment. Okay, so I'm actually an introvert. I play a good extrovert on TV. And stress and strain tends to bring this out in sharper relief. In my observations along the way, I discovered that I turtle up. I go in and quiet. But with my grief and struggle this time, that was not going to be an option. So here's where the woo-woo mystical crashes back into our daily lives, in this body, in this place, with these people. Hi. I reached out instead for friends and family. Just as I held my dad's hand as he crossed in my mom's hand those last few days and the crazy week that followed, I asked for the same on social media, and no one batted an eye. Hey, friends in Boston, hold my hand. Be with me. Hey, cousins in Georgia, hold my hand. Okay. Good thoughts, prayers, juju, whatever we called it. With or without being physically present, I was held. Not just by divinity, that I felt unwaveringly, might I add, but by people, and my whole family was. More snippets from journal. The phone will not stop ringing. And within everyone's condolence call, it's everyone else's story of their loss and their grief. And to be perfectly honest, I don't care right now. We just want to sleep, not have to make small talk, and not make any more choices right now. Note to self, keep condolence calls short and sweet. Make sure the widow or whoever needs that moment off does not have to take everyone. We then instituted a round robin policy with the children and said, go over there to mom. It's the first time I've seen her not micromanage a situation like that. It was pretty cool. Another snippet. I saw four people in active duty Air Force gear and combat boots drive up in a pickup truck on their lunch break at the tail end of the winter. They brought bags, rakes, yard tools, and cleaned a winter's worth of sticks, leaves, and smuts off my mom's front yard. They organized it quietly and just casually called 15 minutes before they arrived, because they had overheard her say it needed to be done before everyone started arriving. Another snippet of grief. Please eat this. Food just keeps coming. Eat it with me. Look, you'll see I have eaten if you eat it with me. Take some home. Grace carried it in here. I especially remember, and I didn't have the words to put it down on paper, asking for prayers and good juju and love and all of that, and literally being able to be present in ways that would have been impossible. I remember 2 days of receiving lines and visitations and funerals and calls and visitors and all of these things, and people that I didn't even know breaking into little pieces of grief with my family. Oh, you liked him too? Ah, I have this whole week and all of this family to grieve with. You have me in this moment, in this hug, in this story. And then you're supposed to walk back out that door and go on with your life as if nothing has happened. Two decades of pagan priesthood showed up, carried on the hands of grace and love by prayers and good juju and thoughts. And instead of being tired, I could be present. It's really amazing how far one life can stretch and touch people. Last snippet. It's a good one. These heels are really cute and very dumb. Sneakers and sweatpants should be allowed at funerals, or at least a costume change. So, what did I learn? What is my prize? I think my prize, my holy grail that I've carried back from this quest that I thought was unsuccessful, is that God, G exclamation point D, is now a two or maybe three part equation. It's the presence spoken of by Rumi, inside me and out there. And it's not just the potential in each of us, but also the hands to hold, the hugs and smiles, words, clumsy or exquisite, they're equally cherished. Just being there does make a difference. There's a phrase in some of my communities that we say things like, what is remembered lives. It turned into a mantra. It's a phrase I've heard for many years. What I didn't realize is it includes us, the living, too. So I'm not perfectly wrapped up. I'm still struggling, and I keep looking for the credits. And I'm scratching my head and wondering, now what? And in a few moments of clarity and brilliance, I do know what's next. This moment with you. And after that, this one. That's slightly different from the last. What's great about this isn't just my story. It's a human one. It plays out in our families, jobs, grocery stores, churches, seasons, even the earth herself. Things are going along. Then something happens. And everyone realizes love doesn't reduce the risk of loss. And before the credits roll, we learn that it's worth going through together. Thanks for being present with me. Our final hymn. Our final hymn is also in the teal hymnal. And it is number 1008. When our hearts are in a holy place. Please rise as you are willing and able.
Thank you.
benediction. Today I share more poetry from Persia. The poet Shamsuddin Muhammad Hafiz wrote, "How did the rose ever open? How did the rose ever open and give its beauty and give to the world all of its beauty? It felt the encouragement of light against its being. Otherwise, we all remained too frightened." May you be open to encouragement and be like light to others, so we all open more of our beauty and vulnerability and strength and to the world. Thank you.